exciting, and yet a little shameful. So here is my own pathetic addition to the celebrity memoir. On the advice of my lawyer, I'm leaving out the shameful bits, and on the advice of my wife, the filthy bits. But as usual in my career, I will leave you wanting less. If this isn't exactly what went down, it's certainly how it should have happened. Look at the bright side always. Samuel Taylor Coleridge. Chapter 1. Crucifixion. It's October 1978, and I'm being crucified. I'm 30 feet up on a cross in Tunisia singing Always Look on the Bright Side of Life. Beneath me, in a troglodyte courtyard, dug out another 40 feet below ground level, an Arab woman sweeps her front yard. She never looks up. We've been here for 3 days. It's the final scene in Monty Python's Life of Brian, and the song I wrote echoes across the desert to the distant hills. John Cleese has the flu. The rest of the Pythons seem fairly cheery. There are 23 of us on crosses and only 3 ladders. So between takes, if you need a pee, there's a desperate wait. I suppose if that's the only moan you have about being crucified, you are on the whole lucky. There's something a little chilling about turning up for work and finding a cross with your name on it. Oh, sure, they weren't using nails and we had bicycle seats to perch on, but it makes you think, hanging up there for 3 days in your underpants, gazing out at the desert. Perhaps everyone should be crucified for a few days because it does give you a good perspective on life, especially if you're singing a song that references your own passing. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And don't think the irony escaped me. I've always known this last little giggle at my expense lies somewhere in the future. I only hope there's a good turnout. The song was supposed to be ironic, but it ended up being iconic. I mean, you can't have much less of a future to be bright about than when being crucified. But people began to sing it in real wars and in real danger. It struck a chord somehow, and now people sing it everywhere, including football matches and funerals. Especially funerals. As of this writing, it's the number one song requested at British funerals. So here I am, up on a cross in Tunisia, singing it for the first time to Graham Chapman. How the hell did I get here? Chapter 2. A Scar is Born. By an odd coincidence, I was born on my birthday. In the same place as my mother, Harton Hospital, South Shields, County Durham. Though, luckily, not at the same time. I was born plain Eric Idle. We couldn't afford a second name. There was a war on. At the time of my birth, Hitler was trying to kill me. Nothing personal. But fortunately, he missed. The closest he got is one of my earliest memories, a shot-up US Wellington bomber limping home from Germany, crashing in flames in the field beside my nursery school. "Nothing to worry about," said the nurses as they hustled us inside. Surely the scariest words you can ever hear. Then I learned the truth from my mum. The American pilot was looking for an emergency landing in the field. He saw the kids playing and deliberately turned away, taking the plane down. I've always liked Americans. They're brave buggers. So close, Adolf, but no cigar. If one of the best ways to appreciate life is to have an unhappy childhood, I was very fortunate. Things began badly and got worse. Try this for irony. My father was killed hitchhiking home from World War II. He'd been in the RAF since 1941 in the most dangerous seat of a Wellington bomber, that of the rear gunner wireless operator, from which he emerged unscathed. And yet, 7 months after the war in Europe was over, he was killed in a road accident hitchhiking home for Christmas. All over England, servicemen were waiting to be demobbed, and as the trains were full for the holidays, they were told to thumb for rides, since everyone stopped for the boys in uniform. My dad got a lift in the back of a lorry load of steel. Just outside Darlington, a car swerved to avoid oncoming traffic. The truck veered off the road, the load of steel shifted and crushed him. He died in hospital on Christmas Eve, my mother by his bedside. I was almost 3. You can see how Christmas was never much fun in our household. I wonder if that's why I wrote the song Fuck Christmas.